Following was a segment on WGEM Sports Center, weekday mornings 7 to 9 on ESPN 1440.
JR, big thanks for joining us. And one of the reasons I wanted to especially get you on is to talk not only about a little bit the Spurs, but just the overall sense of that, of how that entire Western Conference kind of shifted. I think when you figured out and learned, hey, the Lakers aren't going to be that good, how have things kind of shifted since everybody realized without Kobe, Spurs are a pretty good team right now, because the Lakers, they were not.
Well, no, they didn't really offer up a whole lot of resistance, frankly. They got even... They had even more health issues than the Spurs had had during the season. The Spurs pretty much got well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the question heading in was just how well LA had been playing. You know, that like out of the last 40 games, they'd won, you know, between, I think it was like 65-70% of their games, which is pretty impressive, even when you consider their schedule, compared to how they were playing early on in the season. And the Spurs had done the exact opposite. You know, just like winning half of their last 20 games. And so it was really a, you know, which of these two teams are going to show up of the two teams that we had. You know, it's really four teams the whole season long. And Spurs got healthy besides Boris Diaw and besides Litter turning his ankle in the third game. And LA just couldn't keep anybody in uniform.
And when you look at that, and when that series was going on, I think after the first couple games, you realized, yeah, this is going to be a circus on one side, and that is L.A. And San Antonio, they may get overlooked a little bit by many outside because of the circus that is the Lakers. But when it's all said and done, you sit back and say, San Antonio's playing pretty well right now.
They are. I hesitate to really jump on board at this point because it was just the Lakers. When can you ever say that? But they were fielding a D-League team on the wing by the time in those last two games. Steve Blake was carrying them through portions of the first two games, and then he pulls his hamstring. Nash doesn't even play in either of the games in L.A., and you just had this, you know, this D-League list of guys that honestly, there was a bit of a preseason feel to a couple of those games in L.A. It just didn't seem urgent to anyone on the floor, and it would seem like a foregone conclusion. That's not playoff basketball. And when you have a couple of Spurs who last year didn't really perform when the lights got really bright in the Western Conference Finals, I just don't see how you can use that series against LA as a real good judge of where they are. It's encouraging because of the bad note that they ended the regular season on, but I'm not willing to say that we learned too much from them in this series.
Spurs blog, Pounding the Rock, part of SB Nation, at Pounding the Rock on Twitter. You can find them there. J.R. Wilco joining us. Did the team, or did you hear much from them coming at all when they heard the news about Russell Westbrook going down? Because when he did go down, that, like it or not, makes the Spurs, I think, on paper, the favorite maybe to go the furthest out of the West.
Yeah, well, especially when you see the way that the Thunder is struggling to put away the Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
I will agree with you, you know, conditionally at this point, on paper, you know, you kind of, they were the number two team regular season, and it was mainly injuries that brought them off of that pace. So putting them at number two at this point, I can definitely see that argument. But honestly, as far as what the Spurs said, you know what the Spurs are like. They hardly say anything officially. And then especially when it's stuff like that, the only thing I heard was, you know, awful injury, just the regular state, you know, man, I hate to see anybody go down. Hope he's able to come back in time for the playoffs, just like, you know, Better World Peace did, which was amazing, man. That meniscus, you know, was like out 9 days. I couldn't believe he was back so fast. But obviously it's a different kind of tear, right? I mean, it's not just a little that they can lop off of that meniscus. They had to sew it back together, which means he's done some playoffs.
Cool. Looking forward, looking up next, what's going on with the Spurs? Better second round matchup. Which one do you like?
Man, you know what? Both of these teams are showing reasons why the Spurs wouldn't want to play either of them. I mean, who wants to try and guard Curry in a 7-game series? The guy's just crazy, and it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't know how much you guys have talked about him, but he's shooting off the dribble from three better than most players shoot spotting up from three. And that's just insane that the guy can have the ball on a yo-yo like that and suddenly decide he's going to pull up and shoot, you know, well over 40% when he does that. That just doesn't happen. It's insane. And then, you know, then Denver, it doesn't seem to matter who's hurt for them or who they have to put in. I mean, Gallinari goes out, the Chandler plays more minutes and just, you know, drills everything from three as well. And the way that team plays, that high energy, that disruptive defense, get out and run, you can tell they love to play in Denver. And the fact that they actually won, I think they were one for their last 11 playoff road games until they won that last one in against Golden State. So, you know, both of these teams are going to offer a pretty stiff challenge.
Looking at the West right there, you can check it out at Pounding the Rock. Pounding the Rock, part of SB Nation Spurs blog. JR, thanks, buddy.
You bet. Appreciate it, Josh.